right, book of Hebrews chapter 11, only two women are mentioned by name. Now there's a verse 35 says, women received their dead by resurrection. That's probably talking about the time of Elisha, when the woman, you know, the widow woman had her son who died and raised him back up to life. So here we have the statements, only two women mentioned by name. One of them was Sarah. And the other one, in verse 31, by faith, Rahab the harlot. Two women mentioned by name, rest of them are men, and Rahab the harlot. Could you get any different from these two women? Sarah was a married woman, a respectable married woman to Abraham. The only thing she did, she doubted, you know, and you know, God has to have a certain amount of smiling. He has to smile a little bit, you know, because here's a woman close to 90 years old, and am I going to have this pleasure now of having a baby? Is this really so? And she laughed, you know, am I going to have this? And he called Isaac, laughed, because that's what you did. You laughed at it, but here's your baby. She doubted. She doubted. There's no doubt about it. She was a fine woman, you know, a woman upstanding. But here we have this woman, Rahab. The Bible says Rahab the harlot is mentioned here. Notice chapter 11 again, the beginning of verse 1 and 2. For faith, he talks about the definition of faith in verse 1. For by it, the men of old, that is the elders, the people who've gone before us, have gained approval. By this faith, they gained approval. Here comes a person who gained approval. By faith, Rahab the harlot. Here she was. She gained approval. You know what that tells us? Faith is not limited to men, the male. Moses' mother, by the way, was also mentioned, but not by name. Moses' mother was, you know, she by faith, Moses' mother hid him. So the only two mentioned by name are Sarah and Rahab. And faith can happen to anyone. Anyone can truly believe God, put their faith in God, show their faith in God by their action. Her faith started out considerably earlier than when the spies got there. Rahab had started walking by faith as a resident of Jericho. She was a resident. She knew, she heard things about the eternal God, the Almighty, who had brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea, who had conquered the Amorites. She heard this well in advance because she said, you notice what she said when she hid the spies up in among the flax on her top of her roof there. Listen to what she said, this is in Joshua chapter 2, verse 8. Now before they lay down, she came to them on the roof and she said to the men, I know that the Eternal has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are melted away before you. I know that. This was a fact. Other people knew it. She says, we know it. Let's notice in verse 10, for we have heard. That means all the residents of Jericho. We have heard how the Eternal dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. We've all heard these facts. You know, it's one thing to have facts. It's nice to have them. It's good to have them. But what if you don't believe it? What if those facts don't cause you to believe in God? So here, everybody in Jericho had the same facts that Rahab had. But she believed. She believed in God. She believed in God's power, and she believed in God's purpose, and she believed that she was going, you know, that the Eternal was going to give the land over to Israel, and she knew these spies were going to one day conquer. They're going to be in there, and they're going to conquer. So she says this. And then she says in verse 11, when, this is Joshua 2, verse 11, when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you, for the Eternal, your God. Now, she concluded something that nobody else, I'm sure she was the only one, she concluded something nobody else in Jericho concluded, that the Eternal, your God, is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Jericho was filled with idolatry, it was filled with immorality, it was filled, you know, the whole land was there, and that's why God was going to take it over, because these people had just become so down in degradation, and their lives were living such a low pit, a degradation in the pit, that she said, we know that, we've heard this, and she believed it. Others had the facts, but they didn't believe it. She concluded that your God, the Eternal, Yahweh, your God, is the God of heaven and is God on earth. Way before the spies got there, she believed that. They just happened to knock on her door. I think it was they were led by God to knock on her door. And they didn't know her. They didn't know she believed. They knocked on her door, and she said, okay, come in. Let me put you up. Let me, you know, they're gonna attack you. I'll tell you where to go afterward. She sent them the wrong direction, all the soldiers in Jericho, and she protected the spies, and she said, we know this. I know this. I believe this, that he's the God. So everybody has facts, but what you do with the facts, do you believe God? Joshua chapter 2 and verse 12. Now, therefore, she says, please swear to me by the Eternal, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, and my sisters, and all who belong to them. That is, my nieces, my nephews, and all my cousins, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. She knew Israel's coming in. They were going to demolish everything. She knew it. And God was going to be with them. She knew the power of God. She knew it, and she believed it. You remember the assertion of faith from the centurion, from the guy who said, you know, I think it was the lawyer who came to Jesus. He said, if you will, you can make me whole. If you want to, I believe that you have the power to make me whole, if you will. So true faith. Now, she's here. True faith can be sort of lonely, right? How many people could she talk about in Jericho? Boy, I'll tell you what, I really believe in their God. What are you talking about? What, you believe in their God? They're coming this way. You know, you better get on the right side, woman. You know, what are you? You're a harlot. So what? How much can you know? And so here she is. She's lonely. She's the only one who believes. Have you ever been a person, have you ever been surrounded by people who didn't believe like you believed? Have you ever been around people that you said, well, you know, I'm the only one who believes this. But she led in her loneliness and her belief. She was very persuasive to her father, to her mother, to her sisters. She began to talk to them about things that she had learned. And evidently they kept her secrets. They kept it. I'm sure Abel was alone, you know, to stand in faith. Noah was alone to stand in faith. There were a lot of people who were stood alone in life in their faith in God. Jeremiah loved God. He said he loved God. And he believed in the word of God. But this is what he said in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 17. I'm going to read this from the New American Standard Version first. He goes like this. I did not sit, this is Jeremiah 15, verse 17. I did not sit in the circle of merrymakers, nor did I exalt because of your hand upon me. I sat alone. for you filled me with indignation. I'm filled with indignation. I'm mad at this whole nation, the way they've gone, the way all the corruption. You know, if you read the book of Jeremiah, you see how much he was upset with all the corruption. But notice now the New English translation of the same verse. This is Jeremiah 15, verse 17, New English translation. It goes like, I did not spend my time in the company of other people laughing and having a good time. I stayed to myself because I felt obligated to you and because I was filled with anger of what they had done. But he was alone in that attitude, for he said, I sat alone. You know, Jeremiah was alone because I sat alone. I was the only one. So in his attitude, he was angry with what had happened and what's going on. God is showing him, get out here and tell them they've got to repent. Show them this is going to happen. So you and I sometimes have to stand alone at times, and many times we have to stand alone, sometimes in the presence of family, sometimes in the presence of coworkers where we work, sometimes in the presence of school chums, sometimes in the presence of your local area, in your community, in your neighborhood. Sometimes we stand alone. Rahab stood alone. She was a harlot. She had a very bad background. Now, I don't know why she was a harlot. I know that, you know, there are interviews with women, girls that have turned to harlotry. And if you listen to them, sometimes they're very sympathetic. Evoke your mercy. You think they're all bad and evil and all that, but you know, sometimes their life circumstances lead them to do things that they're not proud of. They don't like it. You know, I don't think many harlots walk around and say, hey, you know, I'm a harlot. I have achieved the status of harlotry. Most people don't do that. They don't brag about, most women don't brag about being a harlot. They're sort of ashamed of it. It's embarrassing. And they tried to overcome it, maybe, but it's still embarrassing. So Rahab, I'm sure, was forgiven of her sins. But there are scars that remain. That's why the word harlot is used in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Joshua, chapter 2, verse 6. She brought the men up to the roof and had hidden them after she had brought them. But she brought the room and hidden them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order, in a specific order on the roof. You know, she laid them out in order, these stalks of flax. So she was working with flax, and she was trying to find a different line of work, I'm sure, a different way of making money. And it was hard work. Flax is hard work back in that time. In Proverbs 31, verse 13, the Bible talks about the good woman, you know, who can find a woman like this. She looks for wool and she works with her hands. You know, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She likes to work with it. She's happy to have this to do, and she works hard and she gets it done. So here's Rahab. She may have been a harlot in time past, but she's now trying to change her status, it seems to me. She had some basic good character. She had basic good belief system. She had a basically good heart. You know, this is what she had. And she had a conviction of faith. Now notice what she said. Remember this statement? I know that the Eternal has given you this land. I know it. That's conviction. You know, it's one thing to have faith, and sometimes they have a conviction of it. You know, what does Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 say? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. She didn't see that Israel conquer Jericho yet, but she believed it. She had faith in that. I know God has given you this land. I know it. How did she know it? She knew it through faith. She knew it through faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. She, along with the others, gained approval for her faith. That's why she's listed here in chapter 11 among those stalwarts of faith. So we know, do you know that God exists by faith? I mean, you can't go out here and point, here's God, you can come over and meet him, and I'd like to introduce you to God here, because, you know, there are a lot of people who say God doesn't exist. Do you know that God is working out a plan, that God is going to intervene one day, that Jesus Christ is going to return? Do you know that? You have a knowledge of that, but you don't know it because you've seen it, because it hasn't happened yet. You know it by faith. That's the only way you know it. The Apostle Paul was able to say something like this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. God will. I'm convinced of it. I know whom I have believed. I have faith. That faith is a faith of knowing. We know by faith and nothing else. So when people say, well, do you believe God created the world? I say, yes. I know it. I say, well, how do you prove it? I mean, there's a science. I don't have to get any science. I know it by faith. I know it by faith. Faith is my conviction. Faith is my evidence of things not seen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Now listen to this, and I hope you have this. John writes, these things I have written to you. This is 1 John 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. I'm writing to those of you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know that? Do you know that you have eternal life? You have eternal life already in you if you have the Holy Spirit. And your guarantee, that's your guarantee, that was the first of many, that's the first down payment, guaranteeing. Now, you want to buy a car, a house, some instrument, some piece of equipment, and they want to sell it to you, and they say, well, you know, this is $1,500. And you say, okay, well, I'm going to give you, I want you to hold it for me, here's my money that says I'm going to come back and get it. I'm going to pay for the rest of it. So it's mine. I'm going to give you this portion of it. Here's $400 or $500. Keep the rest, and I'll give you the rest when I return. But that's mine now. You'll save it for me. I will have it, and I will pick it up. And the Bible calls the Holy Spirit that we receive the down payment, the first installment of what we're going to receive. That's what God says it. First installment. So, do you know, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. God gave us a down payment. I don't have to turn to those scriptures called the earnest money and things like that. Now, faith involves action. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, by faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. She had welcomed. She not only believed, but when they told her they were, you know, she saw who they were and they were spying out the land, she all of a sudden believed it and she took action. I'll take care of you. I will welcome you. Glad to see you people. I've heard about your God. You know, come on in. You know, they're going to be looking for you. You know, I'm going to hide you up here and so on. You know, James talks about this in James chapter 2 and verse 24. He mentions Rahab. We've mentioned this before, but let me read it again. James chapter 2, verse 24. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot, once again, she can't get rid of that name. It's a scar that seems to say, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers. Okay, I believe in you, but I'm not going to hide you. You know, I believe that your God is going to be here, but I don't want to do anything. No, faith impels you to do something about it. And she showed her faith, and she received the messengers and sent them out another way. She was impelled, she was compelled to do this. So the proof of faith is found in how it responds to the things related to faith. The proof of your faith is how you respond to the things related to faith. Rahab showed the proof of her faith by receiving these men, hiding them, and asking. Of course, she went ahead and asked them for protection. So the reaction not only involved a friendly welcome, okay? Her reception not only involved a friendly welcome to the spies as being receptive to their message, she did not reject the message, which was that God had given Israel the land. She did not reject that. So she, come on in. I have received you, and I've received the message. The message is God has given this land to you people. Now notice how she had to get rid of her pride, her national pride. You know, I'm a member, I'm a citizen of Jericho, you know. You people have no right here. You know, I don't think you're going to take over this land because you people have no right here. You know, no, she put away her pride. She was humble. I know what's happening. I know the facts. I believe the facts, and I believe your God is the only God, the God in heaven and earth. He's the God of heaven and earth. He has power. So in Joshua chapter 2, verse 14, so the men said to her, you know, because she is asking, you remember what she said? When you come into this land. Now notice, she didn't say, if you're successful, if you think you guys can conquer this city, which has walls all around it, you know, you think you people will really be able to do it? Well, if you're able to do it, remember me for what I did here. You know, now if not, I'm just going to go back to my old life. But remember me if you're able to do it. Now, she didn't say that. She said, you know, when you come in, remember that I was kind to you and spare me and my father and my mother and my sisters and my brothers and all their kids. And they said to her, our life for yours, if you do not tell the business of ours. And it shall come about when the Eternal gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Now, there was no doubt in the spies' minds either. There was no doubt. When God gives us this land, we'll deal kindly with you. So when the word of God is preached, the people of God respond to it. See? You get the word of God. They respond. They're telling her the word of God. What do they know? What does she know about it? They're telling her the word of God. But those who do not possess faith, what happens if you don't have any faith and somebody's preaching to you the word of God? Well, it doesn't matter. You won't get anything out of it. Those who don't possess faith will not receive the word of God well if they do it at all. Sometimes they're upset with the preaching of the word. That's why Paul insisted to Timothy, you got to preach the word. In season, out of season. That means all the time. You got to preach the word, you know, because people are going to turn away from the word. They want to hear stories. They want to hear this. They want to hear that. They don't want to hear the word. They want to hear something else. Preaching the word faithfully, sometimes, you'll have two groups in any audience. There may be a small group here and a large group here, but you'll have two groups. You'll have some people who believe it, believe the word, they have faith with the word, and other people who don't have faith with the word. There'll be groups of people. I'm hoping here that we all have faith in the word of God and accept it. I believe you will. Now her plea is what? Her plea to them was one of faith. When you come into the land, please remember that I was good to you and spare me. That's faith. She did not doubt that Jericho was going to be destroyed, but she believed it and wanted God, you know, wanted them to spare, because she knew God was going to give Israel the land, just as he had promised. She knew this. She knew God's word ahead of time and believed it. Joshua chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Now therefore, please swear to me, that's what she said, since I have dealt kindly with you, you'll do kindly with my father's house. Give me a pledge of truth and spare my father, mother, brothers and sisters, and all who have, and deliver our lives from death. I know you're coming in. I don't have any doubts that you're going to take it. I didn't say maybe you can take it. I didn't say I hope you have enough strength to overcome the walls of Jericho. I don't, you know, and by the way, Jericho was not a cinch. If you came up, if you were the Israelites and you saw this city surrounded by walls, and her house was in the wall, right? It was, and that's how thick some houses, the walls were. Her house was in the wall. You had to come up to those walls. You're now advancing, and the defense in this case has the advantage. They're shooting at you. You know, they got bows, arrows, spears, and clubs, and stones, and things. You're coming up there. There are these walls. You're going to come up there. There's a big wall. What are you going to do? I got to come up there. You know, how are we going to scale these walls? How are we going to get it? It's going to take a lot of lives. We're going to lose a lot of people, you know, going and fighting uphill, fighting this wall. So, you know, it was not an easy cinch. You know, okay, we're just going to go like that. No, God had to do a miracle. The average person said, you know, let them try. You know, these spies coming here, they would think they're going to take this city. Let them try. They tried. And if they had been without God's help, they would not have done it. The walls of Jericho came, they didn't tumble down, they just fell flat onto the ground by a miracle from God. And she was sort of an evangelist, wasn't she? How about sparing my father, my mother, my brothers, my sister? I'm going to convert. I'm going to make them all believe, and they're going to all be with me. They're not going to turn on me. They're all going to be side with me. We're going to say, you got to come here in my house. You got to be in my house, because I'm going to put the scarlet, you know, ribbon or flag outside my house, and they're going to see it and spare us. You got to get over here. I'm telling you. They are, they know, you know, this is, their God is the God of heaven and earth. He's going to give it to us. He's going to surrender us. So she was the type of an evangelist who was able to preach to her family and convert them. And it came to pass, of course, Joshua 6 and verse 23. So the young men who were spies were in, brought in Rahab and her father. After the walls came down, they came and got Rahab and her father, and her mother, and her brothers, and all she had. She was not married. I don't know how old she was. She may have been a harlot since she was, you know, 13, 14, 15. We don't know how old she was. She had a mother and father. Her mother and father were still living. She couldn't be that old. She had relatives all around her. And they came in, and they placed that family, okay, outside that camp of Israel. And they burned. They took them outside of the city and in, you know, outside close to the camp of Israel, and they burned the city and all that was in it. That's Jeremiah 6, 23 and 24. I mean, it's Joshua 6, 24, 23 and 24. So they burned that city and all that was in it. And so Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 says, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient. She did not perish. You know, that's an interesting word here. She did not perish. What did Jesus say in John chapter 3, verse 18? What do we need to have? By faith, she did not perish. Listen to this, John 3, verse 18. He who believes in him, meaning the Son of God, is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now remember John 3:16. Remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. By faith, Rahab did not perish. By faith, you will not perish if you believe. And remember Acts. But when the jailer had, you know, realized, oh, the Paul and them are all out and this is going to happen and now he's going to be in trouble. And he says, and he called the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, thrown down before Paul and Silas, he brought them and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? How am I going to save myself?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Yes, John 3, now verse 36, listen to this. He who believes in the Son of God has eternal life. But he who does not obey, the Son, will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So he that believes in the Son has eternal life. It's a guarantee. The harlot Rahab. Now, if I were going to say, I'm going to list the persons that would really show up in chapter 11, I'm going to really show up here. This is a person that's one of the stalwarts of faith, one of the great examples of faith in our time. This is something else, Now, we were surprised in a little bit that Sarah was an example of faith because she had doubted. But look at the surprise of this one. Rahab had lived a life of degradation and defilement in the past. And yet she was listed here as an elder of good report. Surprising. How did this harlot get into the list of people who obtained a good report? Did you ever think, you'll see some people out here, you may look down on them. You see people on the street down here, Skid Row, or you see people over here, and you see, people in business, or you see people out there, or you see baseball players, you see kids, young people, and you see some criminals in jail, and you see this. Did you ever wonder, when you get into the kingdom, do you think in some way, shape, or form that they'll be in the kingdom? That you'll see somebody that you didn't think had a prayer to get in? And Jesus said this to the disciples. There are going to be many surprises, I suppose, in the kingdom of God. People we think. And this is what Jesus said to the Pharisees. Because he gave them this parable. He said, there were two sons. The father said to one son, go and do this. And he said, absolutely, I'll do it, I'll go. But he forgets it. He never did do it. He says to the other son, go do this. The other son said, no, I am not going to do it. But then, on the way over, he thinks, I'll go ahead and do it. I'll go ahead and do what my dad asks anyhow. And Jesus says, which one of these two did the will of his father? And they said, I suppose the second one, or the first, whatever the one was, the one that said no. Then Jesus said to them in Matthew 21 and verse 31, Matthew 21 verse 30, which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, the first. So the first one said no. The second one said, yeah, I'll do it. And then Jesus said, truly I say to you that tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. Boy, that is stunning. That is stunning. Look at the strikes against this woman being an example of faith listed here with these stalwarts. First of all, most of the people listed in this chapter are men. So number one, she's a woman, right? Well, you know where we put women in the world. Aren't they a lower class? Aren't they down below and all that? They've always been looked down on and all that. So she was a woman. Second of all, she was a harlot, a prostitute. Third of all, almost all the elders in this book had some lineage that let them go all the way to the Messiah. They had a lineage to the Messiah. Noah did. Abraham did. All these people have a lineage. They were either Israelites or forefathers of Israelites. Fourth, Rahab was a Gentile. She wasn't of the list of the Israelites. She was a Gentile Canaanitish woman in Jericho. A Gentile woman harlot, a Gentile woman harlot who lived in an idolatrous filled society of degradation, who had lived a life of degradation. What chance would that woman have of ending up as a stalwart of faith? But faith and belief and conversion, you know, make all the difference in the world. The Apostle Paul ended up writing in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, "For all of you were baptized into Christ, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." You've put on Christ. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise." So what do we learn from this? And what do we learn when we read the first few verses of the book of Matthew? Here's what we learn. We learn that Rahab, after she was taken out of Jericho, became a member of the society of the Israelites. Rahab married a man by the name of Salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N, who was of the tribe of Judah. And that they had a little boy by the name of Boaz, who married a Gentile woman named Ruth. And the two of them had a little boy by the name of Obed, who became the father of a man by the name of Jesse. And Obed also was the grandfather of a man by the name of David, the famous king, and all of them in the line of the Messiah, moving toward the Messiah. Let me read Matthew chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. "Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse. Jesse the father of David the king. David was the father of Solomon by her of Uriah." That's not by the word Bathsheba is omitted from the original Greek, "who had been the wife of Uriah." So here is Rahab. If you go back before the spies ever came into the land, this woman, if you'd have said, how could this woman end up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? How? How is it possible? Everything is possible by faith.